Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, a forgettable end to the month of August with the STI falling by more than 1.5% in today's session, and once again below that 3,100 level. And it's not the first time the STI threatened to fall below that 3,100 level after spending months trading in that tight trading range of about 100 points. Still, there are some reasons to be hopeful for markets moving forward, especially with the gradual reopening of Singapore and also the 80% vaccination rate the country has hit as it continues to also rise above that particular level. Should we be worried about anything with regards to markets moving forward? And what do we make of the recent troubles and tremors in the month that was? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined once again by Mr. Terrence Wong, the CEO of Azure Capital, who, as always, is going to help us recap the month that was for Singapore markets and what he's tracking in the last third of the year. Terrence, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are safe and in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Happy Tuesday and good afternoon to you, sir.
Happy Tuesday, JP.
All right. So, Terrence, you know, it's a bit worrisome, actually, for markets to see the Straits Times Index fall below 3,100, well, about three times this August, after it spent most of that month within that 100-point trading range. Now, we do know there was that rebalancing on the MSCI Singapore Index that happened today that could have been a reason for why we saw a lot of these blue chips pull back. However, we're starting to see signs of the trading range perhaps breaking down just a little bit and to the downside. Now, based on your experience, should we be worried about a possible pullback in the months to come, given these slight little tremors and ripples?
Well, JP, it has certainly been a very lethargic month for the STI. I mean, we started off so well, right? At the start of this year, it was like raging high. It was raging in the first 4 months, up 12%, which I think was the best performance in like 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. But all that changed when there was this resurgence of COVID-19 cases. And that struck not only Singapore, but across Asia. In second quarter, we gave up some gains, and in August, as you currently mentioned, that hit itself a little bit, and we've been struggling to stay above 3,100. On a more macro front, if you look at what has been happening in the US, I think there's some comforting words coming up from the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell. He refrained from hinting that the bank is about to withdraw any stimulus. Mm-hmm. Immediately at Jackson Hole, right, last week. And that, I think, could at the very least support the market a little bit over in the US. And as you can see, it has hit record levels before succumbing to profit-taking. And that, in the US, it is going to be very, very closely watched because it affects our market. But the worrying thing is that, you know, since it's at such lofty levels, mm-hmm. over in the US, it doesn't take a lot to bring it down. And I've mentioned previously that there are going to be some known unknowns or the unknown unknowns that could crop up when we least expect it. Known unknowns could be in the form of a more deadly version of the coronavirus, and that could hit the markets. Mm-hmm. So very little, I think, it takes to bring the market down currently.
Right. Yeah, but on the flip side, though, Terrence, one might argue, if I was being an uber optimist, that there's also a lot of reasons for why markets can go up, especially here in Singapore. We have the intact GDP numbers. We have that 80%, above 80% now COVID-19 vaccination rate, the start of gradual reopening. And another thing is that earnings, for the most part in the recent season, seem to have impressed more often than not. I did want to get your impressions on that, actually. On the corporate front, given you take a look at a lot of these report cards, do the results from earnings season give you more hope? And could this actually provide any meaningful impetus for markets and thus also perhaps validate some of the optimism that might still be remaining in little slivers out there?
Well, certainly. I think that the report card has been quite stellar over mm-hmm. the last couple of quarters. It was already high. We already have some high expectations for the markets. But I believe that many of the companies actually surpassed that after seeing a very, very steep decline in corporate earnings for FY mm-hmm. 2020, where earnings, I think, slumped over 40%. Now we are seeing a very, very big jump, particularly in the second quarter. And because second quarter was the pits in 2020, on aggregate, you look at STI's earnings grew 93% year-on-year in the second quarter. That's fueled by a mix of organic growth. And I think the more important reason is the low base effect. With this, the STI earnings revision cycle remains pretty much on an uptrend. I think that is a positive sign. And it should be supportive of the local market. If you look at the valuations, we are nowhere near expensive. I talk about 14 times. Right. And of course, the yield continues to attract, I think, a lot of investors. We're talking about near 4% yields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, were there any sectors this earnings season, Terence, that might have either surprised you positively or might have even disappointed you this season?
I think the ones that were surprising on our front, one of them would be the banks. The banks, namely DBS, they did far better than expected. If you look at the wealth management fees, the card fees for all three banks actually grew year on year. The loan loss provisions for all three banks have also fallen drastically, which is a good sign, right? Property itself, in particular the developers, can expect a very robust earnings growth this year, largely due to A, the low base effect, like I mentioned just now, and then we also see B, a continuous strong support for earnings given a visible pipeline of projects amid a very, very steady growth in Singapore's residential market. If you look at it, residential market is the star right now. People are lapping it on, and you can see records being made in a very, very tough pandemic year. So, and they are hitting fresh records not only in the suburbs but also in the central area. So, central area is making a big comeback, and I think that this will actually lend a boost to the real estate companies over here. And not only that, we're going to see recovery in rental income and property revaluation gains.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Any sectors that might have disappointed you then on the flip side, Terence?
I think there was a lot of hope for the travel guys, as I said. I mean, right now they have done, I think over the year, of course, they've done decent, but a lot of hope that, you know, the reopening will come sooner and therefore we'll see a big kicker for the likes of the travel industry, the hospitality industry. And I think that is going to take a little longer than expected, given that COVID has really resurfaced in many parts of the region.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was going to be my other next question, actually, Terence. You know, your outlook on aviation stocks, given that Singapore has hit that 80% vaccination rate. I heard from Tim that it's actually higher than that now, actually. Also plans of a reopening, actually, for aviation stocks. But it seems that there might still be a number of unknowns. Are you becoming more upbeat on the sector? Or are you still fairly skeptical on the future for aviation stocks here?
Well, I'm sure the worst is really behind us.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not so sure. What I'm not so sure about is the pace of recovery. Okay. Having one of the highest vaccination rates globally is definitely very encouraging, but we are only as good as the weakest link. And while the vaccination rates are high, we're talking about 80%, we just passed 80% a couple of days ago, right? It doesn't really move the needle for local aviation companies because we don't have that domestic market, the millions of travelers, right? Our total population is only like 6 million people.
Right.
So the domestic market is not big. And there's not much that the aviation companies or aviation-related companies can tap on meaningfully over here. So the resumption of air travel is still being stifled, I think, in the near term, especially with what I mentioned earlier on the Delta variant, which is 3 times more transmissible than the original strain. And I believe that that's the biggest known unknown.
Right. So does this mean also that a lot of us will depend on a recovery or a better vaccination rate from some of our many destinations and some of the other countries in the region where, to revive aviation here?
That's right. I mean, as you correctly pointed out, JP, I think that vaccination rates need to be higher. But it's also the opening up, like how comfortable the countries or the governments across the region are about opening up, how they're opening up. I'm sure many of them are dying to do so. And it's just that they are still trying to learn from each other, like each other's country's experience. In a few months ago, I remember Israel was just opened up its doors because vaccination rates were very, very high. Now they got hit with another wave. So I think a lot of people are just looking at the UK experience, for example, right? And they're wondering which is the best model. So I think that governments across the world, they're still feeling and trying to wonder which is the best strategy currently. But I think that beyond that, as more and more doors are open, more and more travel lanes green lanes are going to be around, that is going to be positive for the aviation sector.
All right. Now, Terrence, I wanted to shift our attention to another growing set of potential risks. I want to ask you if it's a risk that we should worry about here or not. As more and more, when you look across the region, markets seem to be worried about regulatory measures out in China that's spooking everything from tech to property to even video gaming out there, for instance, and also rippling across the markets in the mainland and Hong Kong. From your perspective, though, will this really matter for markets here in Singapore so much?
Well, I'm totally spooked, JP.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Not so much for Singapore. And I feel there's mid to long-term positive for Singapore. But I'm just saying that, you know, thinking that, you know, I could be so close to investing in some of these companies, which I didn't. But, you know, and before you know it, you get basically like slapped without knowing what happened. If you were to invest in, say, an education company, just a couple of days, and I do know investors that have just invested a couple of days before that, and they got whacked. They're down like 80%, right? So no big secret that some of China's most vibrant sectors, from technology to education to gaming, you know, they found themselves on the firing line right now. And this is because Beijing is really trying to reduce the gap, the income inequality, as well as the financial risk. And any companies or individuals, any of the entrepreneurs that are challenging the authority of the government. And the key concern is whether regulators will do more and expand the crackdown to other sectors. But the irony is that actually with all these messiness and the lack of confidence in China and China-related stocks, right? This really creates opportunities for Singapore to shine as a safe haven. So the money that would have otherwise gone into Hong Kong to invest in some China businesses, you know, welcome here to Singapore. I think that there are a lot of good companies out here, value-driven, you know, that will not be affected by political shifts.
So you heard it, Fund Flows. You are very welcome in Singapore if you're trying to avoid some of these tech issues in China. This is at least according to Terrence Wong, our guest today and CEO of Azure Capital. Terrence, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 and helping us recap the month that was. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times, and we look forward to next time we can have you on the show. Good afternoon, sir.
We have a better September.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.